the bedrock of our service with the Lord. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, we have Jesus Christ organizing the apostles in here and trying to put the mission and vision of ministry. Amen. And they're all discouraged. Jesus Christ just lashed on the Pharisees and the scribes there in the parables in Matthew chapter 13. And then he blasted them for their traditionalism. Now he's here in chapter 16, and the Pharisees were desiring a sign. Amen. They're desiring a sign from Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ answered back. He said in verse 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas." And he left them and departed. And we realize that later, and when you read Matthew chapter 12, you pick up the reading in verse 40, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So he's bringing the spotlight in there. The sign of the urgency of ministry is hell. Amen. Hell is in the center of the earth. It's the inner core. The inner core of this planet is the hottest portion of this planet. I mean, it's the center of the planet. At the same time, it's zero gravity. There's no movement in the inner core. The outer core is spinning. And that's what's producing the electromagnetic fields. Amen. And that's what's being produced. And at the same time, it's thwarting the arrival of meteors. When meteors cross our atmosphere, they burn down because of the electromagnetic field from the inner core. But the inner core is where hell is. The Bible says that there's no other sign I can give you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The sign that we know that's good for this whole world is Jesus Christ dying for sins. Amen? Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and is resurrected. Now we have the proof of eternal life because of a living proof that Jesus Christ atoned for our sins. I mean, Buddha didn't rise again from the dead. I mean, you look at Muhammad. Muhammad didn't rise again from the dead. Vishnu didn't rise again from the dead. Only one rose again from the dead that paid for our sins. That's none other but Jesus Christ. That's the sign that this generation needs. And for generation after generations, that's the only way God can change this world. There can be political upheavals. I mean, we sometimes look to President Trump that's going to be the savior of the American dream. Amen. It's not that's not the savior. The savior is Jesus Christ. Just like Isaiah said, when I saw King Uzziah died, I went to the temple. That I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty." I mean, you need to realize that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we have been here, Jesus Christ asking the disciples here, let me pick up the reading in verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father in heaven, we pray now your blessing upon what we have just read and heard. Bless it now to the hearts of your people. Help us, Lord, to realize that we need to always calibrate our minds and our thoughts to the vision and mission of the church. Help us, Lord, here at Bible Baptist Church, Lord, to have a renewed vision, Lord, of the greater reality of heaven and the greater reality of the souls of mankind. Bless us, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First of all, we see the confession that Peter just said. Peter answered Jesus Christ there in verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus Christ is the anointed Messiah, is the chosen one. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's only one solution for this world, and that is Jesus Christ. You can have a military solution all you want to. You can have an economic solution all you want to. You can have an educational solution if you want to. It's not going to change this world. Only Jesus Christ can make a spiritual change. Only Jesus Christ can have a lasting, eternal change in our lives. Brother and sister, you need to realize we need to fight for the work of the Lord. It is a battle. It says it there, Isaiah, "So thee, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It says, upon this confession that I am the Christ, I will build my church. God wants us to realize, as we speak with him, to confess is to speak. Amen. With, to speak with. As we speak with Christ, realize the vision is laid before you. It's laid before the apostles, and it's laying it before you and I. God wants to attack the gates of hell all he can. Amen. And it's not a passive maneuver. It's an active maneuver. So it said the gates of hell should not prevail against it. That means we to batter down, keep on battering down until we break through. Amen. Until we save people. The Bible says in Jude in verse 22 and 23, "And some having compassion, making a difference. And some saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire." And it's a twofold thing. You need to show compassion to people. Show them the unconditional love. I mean, stay with them. They might not understand why you're spending time with them, why you're handing them a tract, why you're inviting them to church. They may not understand that. Sometimes they'll have a violent reaction. Sometimes they'll push you away. Sometimes they might cuss you out, but keep doing it. Amen. I got saved because somebody just kept on doing it. They kept on showing me the Romans Road 7 Saturdays in a row until I couldn't handle it anymore. I told him, "Why don't you just go somewhere else?" Then I saw tears coming down the side of his cheeks. I made a Air Force Airman First Class, cry. He had this Air Force blues on when he was door knocking, and I made him cry. I was scared to death. I mean, I was 19 years old, and I made this Airman cry, Airman First Class, Andrew McClary. I made him cry. I let him inside the house. I made him a mayonnaise sandwich and Tang orange juice. That's all we had. We had powdered Tang. I mean, that's 1985, amen. But that's what I made for him. And I told him, "Please don't cry." I said, "I'll go to church with you to observe what you do. Please pick me up." He picked me up on a Wednesday night, December 18, 1985. Bam, bam, I got saved, amen. Everything changed, amen. When Jesus Christ comes inside you, it's a changed story, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, old things are become new." I grew up in a Catholic school. I grew up in high school, Sacred Heart Seminary. My teachers, I had 8 teachers that were priests. And my best friend was the rector of our school. Rector means the director. He's the director of all the priests. It just so happens when I went to college, I went to get my pre-med in Manila. And my third year in pre-med, he was studying his MBA. The rector was studying his MBA, so he'd meet up with me on Tuesday and Thursday. He would only show up Tuesday and Thursday. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll pay for the merienda. Merienda means snack. And then Thursday, he'll pay for my snack. Then we go on discussions, and I asked him, I said, "Father Gene, how do we know for sure we're going to heaven when we die?" You know, he pushed his chair from the table? He said, I don't even know. And he's the rector of Sacred Heart Seminary. He said, I don't even know. He said, he quoted to me the 1964 position of the Vatican II Convention. And he said, we have to fulfill all seven sacraments. Even right now, you type in Google, what is the official position of salvation for the Catholic Church? It's going to come up like that. You have to fulfill all seven sacraments. He said, I cannot fulfill number five. That's the sacrament of matrimony. But you cannot fulfill number six. That's the sacrament of holy orders, becoming a priest. So all of us are going to purgatory. Purgatory is just made up. Amen. And he said, somebody has to pray you out of purgatory. Your loved ones have to pray the high mass fee. When my dad died, we had to pay the high mass fee in our Catholic church, $1,000 in 1976. That's a lot of money in 1976. The exchange rate back then was 4 pesos to $1. Right now, it's 55 pesos to $1. So if it was today, my dad had died today, and that high mass fee will be $55,000, close to 55. My brother and sister, there's no such thing as purgatory. There's only salvation in Jesus Christ. Based on this confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Sonship of Christ, God the Father sending his Son, becoming a man. Amen. In 1 Timothy in chapter 3 in verse 16, the Bible talks about without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, justified in the Spirit, believe on in the world. Preach unto Gentiles, believe on in the world. Jesus Christ is God's gift to humanity. Jesus Christ leaving the throne of heaven, taking upon himself the robe of flesh, but sinless all of his life. He didn't have to pay for sins, his own sins, because he had no sin. He was skipping the venial sin of Adam and Eve. You and I have a direct route through Jesus Christ, because he is able to take our sins upon his own body. The Bible says in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Amen. You and I are healed from the penalty of sin through Jesus Christ. We need to fight this good fight, fellowship with God. Just like I said, just join the boat with God. The Bible says in there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, praying for you from the first day until now that you join the fellowship of the gospel. The word fellowship there is koinonia. It's also the root word for coitus. Coitus is a reproductive term where you have copulation. I mean, when you have the coupling of the female and the male, copulation. You understand a person in the deepest sense of the word. God wants us to understand his mind, to understand his thoughts, to understand his heart. Amen? God wants you to keep on growing. We may not be able to absorb everything. I mean, in our finite condition, we are imperfect, but God is perfect. But we have to keep on striving, amen? Keep on understanding. We don't know your wife. I don't know my wife. I've been married to my wife the last 34 years. But brother and sister, I still don't know my wife. You and I need to keep on striving, amen? Keep on striving to understand the Lord. Meet with the Lord every day. You confess God as you say, rejoin God every day. Ride that boat, join the fellowship of the gospel from the first day until now. Let's go back there again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The second thing we need to see in here, upon this rock I will build my church. It's a construction, amen? God wants us to construct ourselves in this vision of mission. God wants you to build up yourself. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate, that they might conform them to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants to conform you to his attributes, his character, to ripen the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. It is your job to ripen those fruits. Those fruits are already there when you accept Christ as Savior. And as you mold yourself, God molding you to his image, then you become more reliable. You become more flexible with people. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. A fisherman doesn't use just one lure. Amen. A fisherman needs to understand what he's going after. He needs to understand what type of fish bites this lure or this lure or this lure. There are four major psychological attributes in people. When you take the Briggs-Myers personality test, there's four major personalities. You have the sanguine personality, you have the melancholic personality, you have the choleric and phlegmatic personality, four different personalities. And underneath those four personalities, you have four branches out. There's 16 major personalities. God expects you and I to understand how you relate to people. Amen. A salesman cannot do the same sales pitch with one person. He has to understand a different personality. Then he can make a sale. This is God's business. God wants us to grow in the business of learning about people. And God wants us to share the word of salvation with other people. You are his witness. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God wants us to be a witness. How can you be a witness? Just share what you see and what you hear with the Lord. I saw my own salvation. Share your salvation story. I heard the word of God. I used the scriptures to share faith. I mean, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God wants us to build ourselves in the Spirit. I mean, the Bible says in 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Keep on adding. Amen. And it's by the grace of God. I mean, it's not because of you, it's because of God. Just be faithful with the word. I mean, the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 31, and he spake unto disciples, to the Jews which believe, continue in the word, and you'll be my disciples indeed. Indeed, that means by work. You need to put the effort in there to keep understanding the scriptures. Keep on studying the scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Put yourself in the position of discipline, amen, as any athlete would do. Keep on growing with the Lord. And God will use you to be more and more fluent in sharing the gospel story. The Bible says in there, 1 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, that you may be able to give an answer of the hope that is in you. I mean, God expects you to share the hope that is in you. People don't understand the Bible. They cannot understand this book. In 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. So people want to read you instead of reading the Bible because they can't understand the Bible. You need to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you. So we see, number one, the confession of this vision. You know that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have this vision of that confession. Then at the same time, have the vision of construction. Construct yourself. God wants to build you up. He wants to build the church. Being the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Amen. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever shall ask the Father, he may give it to you. In my name, he may give it to you. God wants us to grow. Amen. In John chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. As the Father sent me, continue in my love. We need to continue growing in the love relationship that we have with God, and then growing in our knowledge relationship. Amen. When you know somebody, you know how they think, you know how they feel. That's the best way to know somebody. Amen. And God wants you to learn more about him. Amen. Every day. Lastly, let's go back in Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 18 again. You look at the latter portion, it says in there, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a commission by God. His mission is to break down the gates of hell. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. The fruit of a church is another church. I replicate myself with my young men. With the 22 churches that were started, I gave them the curriculum of having their own Bible institute, so they can have their own Bible institutes, their own Bible colleges, amen? They can replicate the whole work. I got all of the patents, or in all of the copyrights of our Bible college in Michigan, Midwestern Baptist College. Dr. David Carr gave me clearance to copy all of the curriculum. Amen. Just so we can have Bible colleges all over the Philippines. Amen. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible tells us about the call of Titus. Titus was from Crete, but it says in there in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest strengthen the things which are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. This is the verse that God used to call me back to the Philippines. I was going to take a church in Woodbridge, New Jersey, Filipino Baptist Church in Woodbridge, New Jersey in 1992 when I finished Bible college in Michigan. But I fasted and prayed, and God gave me this verse. Go back to the Philippines. You're from Crete. Just go back to your home island of the Philippines and start churches in every city as I have appointed. I have not reached all the cities of the Philippines. There's 91 cities in the Philippines. We've only reached maybe 5 with 22 churches that God has allowed us to start. My lifetime is too short. But at least I can replicate my ministry in other young men. I might not see the promised land in my time, but at least the next generation will do that. Amen. When you think about Abraham was promised by God, I'll give you this promised land. Abraham did not see the promised land except for Shechem. I mean, buying the cave of Machpelah in Shechem. I mean, that's inside the promised land. But brother and sister, in its entirety, Abraham did not receive the promise. But the next generations did. You and I are given the privilege to attack the gates of hell. In Psalm 126 in verse 5 to 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with him. It's just one person at a time. One door at a time, one co-worker at a time, amen, one classmate in school at a time, one relative at a time. I mean, you and I are given just one life. I like what David Livingstone said. One life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Attack the gates of hell the best way you can. Can be with a squirt gun, but at least you're attacking, amen? But we do it all together. We'll flood it down, amen? We'll break it down. We can attack. At the same time, we can attract people to Jesus Christ. We don't have to be brazen and sometimes mad. Sometimes we get frustrated with people, but bear with them, amen? Love them. Loved them with an unconditional love. God allowed us to start an orphanage in the Philippines. I was scared to start an orphanage. I mean, there's a lot of problems dealing with kids nowadays. But I saw a lot of these kids broken in the streets. And God gave us James chapter 1 and verse 27. The Bible says it there, pure, religion, and undefiled. in the sight of God our Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. You know what? A lot of churches are spotted because they don't participate in supporting orphanages. God does not expect Buddhists to go after orphans. Hello? He's not expecting Muslims to go after orphans. Who's he expecting? He's expecting you and I. You and I are a living proof of the spiritual adoption story. You're only going to heaven when you're adopted by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son, the only begotten Son. In order for you and I to go to heaven, you have to be adopted by Jesus Christ. You know why Jesus Christ is called the everlasting Father? There's only one God, the Father. But why is Jesus Christ called the everlasting Father? In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Jesus Christ is coming soon, amen. He'll show us what good governance is supposed to be, amen. The government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Why is he called Everlasting Father? There's a difference. The Eternal Father is God the Father. Everlasting, there's a beginning point, but there's no ending point. The beginning point of our fatherhood in Jesus Christ is our adoption. Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what religion is. It's a bondage of fear. You have to do a lot of good works. You have to buy your way by doing all these good points, making the weighing scale heavy on this side. It's a religion of bondage. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But the spirit itself beareth witness, the capital S spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know what happened when you got saved? Titus chapter 3, verse 5 happened. Amen? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit puts on the generator. I'm putting sound effects in there, amen? It's like you're going to McDonald's and brownout happens. I mean, everything shuts down, then later on in just a few seconds, then light comes on. You know, your spirit died at the Garden of Eden. We have a body and a soul, but our spirit is dead. That spirit has to come to life, be born in the spirit when you accept Christ as Savior. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the children then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. You and I have a place of positional adoption in Christ. And you and I are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We are placed into the family of God. We can attract people to our adopted father. Man, there in Bahay Cebu, we try to arrange the adoption. We have arranged adoption for 16 children in our orphanage now since we had operations going in 2016. And we have rescued so many, and we have brought them to other members of the family. I mean, it might be for a different island. It's upwards to 69 children now. But now we have 31 in our orphanage. And I really believe God wants to use them too. We have two in our orphanage. Two of our kids surrendered themselves to become pastors one day. Amen. And then two workers. So four. Two workers from our orphanage. Four of them have promised to become preachers. And one day they'll replace me. I tell them, you're going to replace me one day. Amen. And that's the mark of a successful ministry. A ministry is only successful when there's a successor. Moses was successful because Joshua took them to the promised land. You and I need to replicate ourselves in other people. One life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let's all stand together, every head bowed and every eye closed. We need to renew this vision every day, focus on the confession that we have that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the Son of God. He's God become man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We need to renew this confession. We need to renew our construction day by day. We need to renew the commission of God to break down the walls of hell every day the best way we can. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this evening, you're not saved, please make sure the day of your salvation, ask somebody to show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you're saved this evening, God wants you to renew your mission vision with him. Focus on the confession that we have. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the only Savior of this world. He's the only one that can change this world. He's the only one that can fix the problems of this world, fix the problems of our families, fix this new generation coming up to hell. God wants us to construct ourselves. God wants us to break down the walls. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, please bless now your people here at Bible Baptist Church. Bless now this time of invitation. We love you in Jesus Christ. Brother Reed, please come.